turn for our scripture reading this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We have been going through the Gospel of Mark for some time now. After many, many years in the book of Romans. So we are at chapter 4 of Mark and the well-known parable of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking of the sower. And we're told in this chapter, at the end of the chapter, that without a parable spake he not unto them. And last Lord's Day we pointed out that even in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a multitude of parables there and parabolic language. So we're going to read today, beginning here in Mark chapter 4 at verse 3. Let us consider God's word. Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. The word hearken is literally, hear ye! Akouete. Hear ye! And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, or those outsiders, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they that by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts, literally on their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 20. And oh, may the Lord open His Word to us today and open us to His Word. Let us pray together. Oh God, we confess that without Thee we can do nothing. Lord, Thou dost give us life. And we confess that we take that life and we grieve Thee by our sinning. But Lord, we ask Thee now that Thou wilt come and take up Thy word We pray that thou wilt give us hearing ears and understanding hearts to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. We pray in Jesus' all-prevailing name. Amen. Amen. There are places in the state of Virginia along Interstate 81 that would cause you to think that you were in the land of Scotland. Now, I am not referring to the beautiful mountains or the lovely valleys, but rather to plants growing there. Some of the median strips between the northbound and the southbound lanes, some of those medians are absolutely filled with huge thistle plants. If you were to touch one of those thistle plants, you would be in very piercing pain. The thistle plant is the national plant of Scotland. I've wondered why. Well, they tell you that it is an ancient symbol of chivalry. I would look at it more as a symbol of shivering if you touch one. Perhaps that's why the horrid plant was introduced to the North American soil. It was not native to this country. Somebody actually brought it. I can remember the time when there were no thistle plants in the whole area. I can remember that time when I was a young boy. You never saw a thistle. Hallelujah. When I was very young, I regularly covered most of our acres either on foot or on horseback. And I can tell you, if a horse somehow brushed into or backed into a thistle and you were on a horse, you would be on top of a lot of trouble. But seeing we didn't have any in my preteen years, that wasn't a concern until much later. God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Profitable food crops would be choked in many places on the earth by thorns and thistles because of sin, because of the curse on the earth. Now, we come to the third type of soil today, thorny ground. We have just, last Lord's Day, considered stony ground. And let me make it very clear. These two types of soil present the greatest dangers to those who call themselves Christians. The first kind of soil, the wayside ground, really concerns especially just those who would be occasional hearers, those that might just visit a place where the Word of God is preached or pick up a Bible and read it randomly and yet have no heart at all and not even a profession of the things of God. But these second two types of ground are the most dangerous for those who call themselves Christians. The hardened ground, with the hard stone under it, beneath that superficial appearance, that hardened heart will be the final undoing of so many on that great and terrible day of the Lord. Many, Jesus said, will offer their perfection to Him in that day, but He will have to respond to them, "I never knew you." And now we turn from the stony ground hearer to the thorny ground hearer that proves to be equally fatal. Equally fatal to the soul, if not even more deceptive and deadly than the other. The appearance to the eye can be more promising in this third type of soil, of course, than the first or the second, by the very look of it. For the ground may be thoroughly and deeply broken up, but there can still be those tiny thorn or thistle seeds, hidden in and hidden among the well-cultivated ground. If the good seed of the word was sown among standing thorns, briars, and thistles, it would be obvious. No harvest would be expected at all from that. I say that again. If the sowing was where there were standing thorns, standing briars and thistles, anyone in their right mind would not expect a harvest at all in such a situation. But here, the subtle deceptive nature of the human heart is to be further displayed. Many noxious weeds and thistles can spring up from a very small piece of root, a little seed, or even a little piece of the leaf, especially of the thistle plants. A little tiny piece hidden in the well-plowed soil. It can spring up. It can shoot up suddenly. Matthew and Mark use that exact term of springing up. For the sudden sprouting of the ruinous thorn whose presence had been so fully hidden from all human eyes before. Now let us understand. Look carefully at the subtle nature of the thorny ground, because it may appear at first well plowed, well sown, be very promising, and yet ultimately it produces no fruit at all. No fruit even to life eternal. Now, what is the use of this preacher coming here each Lord's Day and pouring out his heart in sermons to you and seeing no fruit or so little change? I ask, what can sustain a mortal man in such a continuous warfare? Well, I will tell you. It is the call of God. And it is the certainty of past experience. That's what keeps me going. The call of God and the certainty of past experience. What am I talking about? Well, let me tell you about my father. He would not let a sprig of grass live in his vegetable garden. He was of that generation that came through the Depression, and I'm sure even those before it. They used to have absolutely clean vegetable gardens. No weed in sight. No little sprig of grass allowed. I remember, you know, a lot of those old people back years ago, they didn't care anything about landscaping. They swept their yards and kept their yards swept clean with a broom. I used to see old ladies do that. It was really wild. But these people would not allow weeds. I can remember my father the last time he was in his vegetable garden. I think somebody made a picture of him. I'm so glad. Because my dear father, he was in his 83rd year, and he had his walking cane in the one hand to help him walk, and he had the hoe in the other. And that dear man went up and down those rows slowly and with eyes like old Moses. He didn't need glasses. Only time he ever used glasses was to read fine print. He didn't miss them. He got every sprig, every little weed that he saw, even beginning, he got it up and got it out. And you know, he was such a blessing, because he was working, caring for his family to the last by growing nourishing vegetables. But I want to tell you, that little account is just the tip of the iceberg. Because he and a couple of African-American men went down there and began working on that 90 acres when I was just probably still running around diapers. And my cousin Bobby, who's probably 82 or 83 now, Bobby literally opened up a wilderness down there, cutting trees with crosscut saws by hand. Now imagine, no chainsaws. They did it, this was like 1950. And they started, they were using crosscut saws, and they would cut those big trees down with crosscut saws, and then they would cut them to where the horse could pull them into a pile and they could burn them. They did that for years and years and years, opening up the wilderness. Now, I was too small to go as they were clearing the land. I guess I'm glad now. But once the pastures were cleared, my dad declared war on noxious weeds that would hinder good grass or vegetables in the garden. I could name three or four weeds that he determined to totally annihilate from his land. And he did. We pulled them up. We dug them up. We put the tops into bags or into baskets to burn or to take to the city dump and to give them that junk. When thistles finally made their appearance here, oh, the only time you saw a thistle in those days was on the side of the road, on the shoulder, like y'all got up there in the medians, you know. Well, they were growing on the roadside, and I figured the seeds must have been clinging to some of the vehicles that came from other places and dropped those little seeds there, or birds, or well, I don't know what it was. But they're by the road, so it must have been the traffic. But as those things grew on the roadside, the wind blew those thistle seeds into our pasture. The war was on. Thistles will really hurt you. We kept old paper feed bags for this purpose. And we would use leather gloves. And you didn't touch the thistle. Oh, you got the shovel under it. And you put the bag over it. So none of the... And this was before the bloom started to open. Don't wait till the bloom gets ready. You're in trouble. So before the bloom would open, we'd go down with these bags and set these paper bags over them. These are big, tall paper bags. And you put it over and you dig under it and you get down to the root and then you gradually push it over with a shovel and you've got everything in the bag. And they would be burned like that. Once they dried out. That's the only way. You don't shake even a leaf off. We were afraid that even a leaf would bring some more of those terrible things. And by the time my father died, there were no thistles on his place. Now, we've dug up a few of them since then. There was no Johnson grass. No sour docks. No summer cedars. None of that stuff was allowed on his farm. Now, why did I share all this? After year and year and years of hard toil and labor, the soil had been freed from those terrible noxious plants. And for years after that, for years to come, we have been enjoying the benefits from all of that work. Now, I am assured by the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. But every plant that is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus shall know and experience the love of God that passeth knowledge and shall be filled with all the fullness of God, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Ephesians 3, 17, 18, and 19. And Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 tells us that. Now, you know, the determination, the Lord knows what kind of plant you are. What the seed does in your life. Are you a plant that is simply on a hard ground, hardened heart? Are you a seed that will be choked by the cares of this life, and you'll have no time for God, no time for His day, no time to worship Him and give Him your heart? Are you taken up with the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things? The Lord knows what our heart is. How can we go on? How can we go forward sowing the good seed of God's Word and His holy gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As my Father commanded me to get up and work, and He worked with me, there was a final expectation of a crop and all the benefits that would come from that consistent labor. Even so, I am absolutely assured by the promises of the Heavenly Father and by the words of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ taught in parables. And even in this parable, the sower is good for us to sow. But ultimately, the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He is the one that's sowing. And yet, even with the Son of Man sowing, you still got the four kinds of ground. You see that? And our Lord Jesus Christ, in His earthly ministry, in the days that He was walking this earth, He saw that 25%. But you know, the wonderful thing about that particular 25%, did you read that down in verse 20? Even that one-fourth, that last type of soil, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that in the time to come, I'm not talking about eternity, I'm talking about the time to come as well as eternity, there's going to be a great increase. That one little seed ultimately producing 100 more like it. One little seed producing 60 more like it. That one little seed producing 30 more like it. That's reality. There is coming a harvest. There is coming a harvest. Jesus promised in Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the world. And the end is not yet. God willing, we will consider the deep teaching of the thorny ground text next Lord's Day and how it really applies to you and to me. We're going to sing as we close today about this. I want you to think very carefully about the words that we sing about this harvest. Because these words can come through your lips, but these words you'll face again. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for the goodness of Thy grace. We praise Thee for Thy mercy that we don't have at this moment what we deserve. We praise Thee that through grace we will receive all that which we don't deserve. We praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy wonderful salvation. Cause Thy word to take root, to grow, and to produce fruit unto life eternal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.